Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome, everybody. It's Marina from MCBI, and I am very excited to be welcoming Frank Vassallo from, well, I was going to say from SA Water, but that sort of limits you a bit, doesn't it? You're like a global citizen of Agile. So welcome, Frank. Welcome to the MCBI podcast series.
Thank you, Marina.
Look at you
I've got a big smile on my face.
Sorry, they can hear you smiling.
We're all global citizens, yeah, so thank you.
But you've had a big illustrious career, so I didn't want to like just put you in the SA Water pigeonhole, although that's a pretty darn good pigeonhole.
Yeah, so it's a good place to be, and I'm happy there, and it's
you've got great furniture. You and I have had many discussions about high quality furniture and
peppermint tea.
Anyway, let's not go down that one. You've also got the honour of being the first podcast person from the 60 Mock series who didn't do 60 Mock upstairs at MCBI. You did it over at the Rhino Room.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So last month there was no...
They didn't come here straight after. Yeah,
okay.
Because I was...
That's right, you were away.
I was away sunning myself. So, no. You know, it's all about me. But let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you and that great session that you just... Yeah, you just ran over in the Rhino Room. So it was all about the human experience within the Agile movement. Do you want to tell us a bit about it and the session that you took us through?
Yeah, I think the what I was hoping to get across was that whole point that we are human beings and linking that to the Agile movement or manifesto is that we spend a lot of time looking at the mechanics, the technical side of doing Agile. And I think, as I said today at the Rhino Room, that we are human beings, we're not human doers.
Yeah.
And I tend to wax lyrical, anyone that knows me, that works with me at SA Water and other places about being agile over doing agile and how important it is to get that mindset, values and principles over, you know, the fact that, oh, I've got sticky notes on a wall or we're using planning poker or story points and epics and all the things that tend to really ostracize people in the business particularly or that are not involved in, say, my background's in software development. So if you've come from a software development background, sometimes you feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to create value, then that can ostracize people. So.
Well, let's just talk about that because, I mean, Agile was born out of the software development movement and I love the word movement, so I just use that a few times.
Movement,
but it was also, I think, inspired because of all the failures that we've had in IT where we weren't connected enough to the business and there wasn't enough communication, that sort of free-flowing thing going on. We were depending on requirements being right and then people would follow it in a very system engineering type of way.
Yeah.
And then we were like, yeah, no, that's not working. In fact, I think the stats are still about 70% of IT projects.
Just still not good. It's still not good.
We have a better chance of failure than success.
I know. What's going on?
What a great industry we're in.
Yeah. I think I said it the other day that my first job back in the mid-80s, the boss on the first day said, welcome, you get paid to fix your own mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think we've all seen that graphic, you know, with the swing, you know, the different pictures of the swing that, you know, this is what
the consultant wanted. Exactly.
So, but you're right. Back in 2001, when that manifesto movement was formed, it's actually one of the things I was going to talk about today. It didn't come out. You know, why do these guys get together? And unfortunately, it was 17 blokes, a not very diverse group, but they were the people, thought leaders or experts in their field, whether it be Scrum or different software development frameworks. But they actually came together because things weren't working. So, and I mean, at that time, I was probably just at the end of my development days as a programmer, and it wasn't working. We were working on systems that people didn't use. We're creating lots of software, lots of components that were never used. There was a lot of waste. People were unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't actually enjoying what we were doing. I mean, the odd time you did work in a team or environment that was good, you knew it and you wanted more of it, but the system, the whole system, didn't allow it. And I think that's why that group of people got together to say, hey, we need to come up with a better way. We've got failed projects. We've got customers that, you know, are sick and tired of waiting. They're paying too much. They're not getting what they want. and it wasn't working.
Because in some ways, Agile looks like it does hold the characteristics of those old projects from, you know, a couple of decades ago, where people, all the lines got blurred and we all just got together and we got stuff done.
Mm.
And although we honoured some of the waterfall, we sort of abandoned them when necessary to get the job done. And Agile feels in some ways, not all of it, but some parts of it where we've now institutionalised that and legitimised that style of working, which people sort of gravitated towards naturally.
Yeah, so we saw good. It made me also think of something I wanted to say at the Rhino Room, but is about we've had to sort of start to unlearn. I think that, you know, what we've created. So even I've been around for a fair time, thankfully, and I've worked in an environment where we were sort of cowboyish. That used to be a term that we used to use, and I've sort of and.
Now we're proactive.
Yeah, well, we went one way. Yeah, we went one way where we became, I think, and I'm not sort of blaming because I'm also quite involved the PMI and PMBOK and Prince too, but we sort of went away, started to think more about managing risk and governance and compliance around delivery, and we started to add a lot. That's my view, that we added a lot in, which. You know, sometimes if you go into an environment and look at the way they run a project, you could probably build a 3-month plan and spend X thousand dollars before you've even done anything just to meet all that governance.
Yeah.
So I think the pendulum went strongly even further one way in my own experience, and now we're trying to bring it back. Agile helps to bring it back, and we need to because we need to be more adaptive and learning. And I think to me that's what Agile. The essence of Agile really is it's about how can we be more adaptive, how can we learn because we don't have all the answers and we don't know which way we're going to go.
Which I think in IT we're pretty comfortable in saying that we don't know it, but there's this underlying confidence that we have that we will find it and that nothing that's really nice in Agile.
And we'll find it through working together being on the same team, like business and IT, so we break down the silos, break down the handoffs and work together.
But that ambiguity can be quite alarming for risk and governance. People go, what? You're doing stuff without knowing? That freaks us right out.
I had this conversation coming in this morning because I picked up one of my ex-colleagues who lives near me on the way in, and he was talking about the fact that how do we break down that? People want to know what's this going to cost, how long is it going to take? And that's hard. I mean, I don't have all the answers for that, but... What I would try to say is, you know, well, maybe we need to flip the question. You know, what's it worth, or how much?
I think it's been hours.
How much you're willing to invest to learn a little bit more? You know,
but it's a good point, which brings me to this question. You have been implementing Agile across, you know, 30 times you mentioned today, and also I guess bringing the culture of Agile to large organisations. What do you think are the biggest friction points that the Agile culture faces when trying to go into these big organisations? Where do the blisters emerge?
This one, I think if you think in a way of people, process, technology, so I'll do the easy one for me, technology.
Yeah.
So bringing true agility into an organisation, as I said, to be adaptable and to learn and to be able to, you know, almost pivot and move because there is ambiguity and things are going to change. If your technology isn't right, i.e. sort of architecture. So what, you know, what's underpinning what's running your business? So I think organisations that I've seen that have done it well, like embraced agile and digital transformations, is they've spent time getting that technology into a state, legacy or new technology that they can be agile.
Yeah.
So that can create a friction point. If you don't have that in that architectural mindset, the being and doing, that's going to be a friction point in the technology. Then you've got process. So process, we've just got layers and layers. You know, organisations I work in, medium to large, government, non-government, doesn't matter whether it's here in Adelaide, I've worked in the UK, other states, just we've just got layers of process.
It's crazy.
And, you know, there's just the old story about the five monkeys that are in the cage, you know, and they get put into a cage, and the time they put a banana at the top, they all race up to get it and they get squirted with the water, and eventually they take one out, put in a new monkey, And by the end, there's five monkeys that have never been squirted with water, but they never go and get the banana. So that's the sort of short version of it. But you know, it's
that's
a common
CBI story. We do that.
Oh, you do that? Yeah. So we've got these processes, and people are almost married to them, or invest, they're so invested they become personal. So that's another friction point, because Agile will challenge it. In fact, it's a really good point about Scrum, which is the most common framework, is that one of the things that is makes it disruptive is it will highlight all these things that we've got processes that are wrong. And unfortunately, what we tend to do is we take the easy path, we modify maybe the framework or the Agile approach to meet the constraint, when we should actually try to fix that process. And the final bit was the people.
Yeah.
And that's also a friction point, because a lot about what I was talking about today was the human side of Agile, and the human as a, you know, a human at work in the work environment. You're an individual, you're a member of a team, you're a leader, you're part of an organizational unit. We're all at different levels of understanding what that means. And you could be a like me, you know, I think of myself as an agile pragmatist, common sense, maybe sometimes borderline evangelist, but there'll be other people that just don't get it at all. They probably get it in a different way. So there's friction points there.
Yeah.
And so how do we deal with that? I guess it's twofold. One is, you know, that mindset, living the behaviours and getting capability. So never underestimate the amount of change, you know, organisational change, effort and coaching and support that people need.
I have heard some organisation almost weaponise the agile mindset, where it's just a replacement for the old phrase of you're just being negative. You know, people, and sometimes there is legitimate criticism on the agile framework because it doesn't fit, but particularly in technology. There's some areas it doesn't really fit nicely. And then when people are, you know, critical of it, not, you know, not criticising it, but then they're told, well, you're not, you don't have a growth mindset. And they're like, what? No, I'm just calling out risk, man. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mentioned it today. I think sometimes it can be condescending. It's like, you don't have the growth mindset. Oh, hang on, what mindset do I have? I thought I'm pretty good in that regard. So what does it actually mean? Agile, that's where we've sort of got to start to move away from that word or the way it's used. And people will use it as a weapon, like you said, or, you know, hide behind it or use it in the way it wasn't intended.
Yeah, just as another way to get their own agenda through sometimes. Yeah,
so I might be that more command and control leader, says, oh, we're going to go agile. And,
you know, I'm going to scrum you.
Yeah, I'm going to scrum you, and these guys are going to work like the clappers and get everything done in 2-week sprints, and I want more of it. And if they're not doing it, well, you got the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God, I think I've heard that said.
Yeah.
That's not agile. That's not agile.
No.
So agile has taken hold of the corporate transformation landscape. People are putting agile in everywhere, from NFPs to banks to healthcare, everywhere.
Yeah.
What do you think, see the future of, the future of Agile?
Future of Agile. Yeah, I think I hope that, I don't know, if I take a big step back and look at, you know, the whole of history and, you know, in the different, you know, industrial revolution and where we're going to now, the age we're going to, hopefully, I think we're in this phase where we're moving into the right way of working. So it and affects quite a senior person at work said to me the other day, which I thought was great, because I started to get a sense I was coming across now at the senior level as a bit of an evangelist, and that was sort of bothering me a little bit, because I'm not, but maybe I'm being seen that way. So what he said is, it's not about, you know, good agile, bad agile, doing, being, which is actually a good point. The point he made was, it's about better business, better value, better outcomes. That's what we need to work on. So I think I just 100% agreed with that. And that's where the future of agile is. And it was also another discussion in our community, which I mentioned today, was it's, you know, waterfall is dead, or traditional, that type of approach doesn't work anymore. We don't even do big bang implementations on traditional projects anymore. And Agile will probably die. That's a pretty strong word, but it'll become what's the best.
Yeah, we'll just deliver.
Yeah, what to deliver. And I think, I don't know what that's going to be, because I think we tend to, there's this whole agile industry, you know, and there's be another industry that.
There'll be another committee.
There'll be another framework and another.
Pimbok.
Yeah. New breed of consultants.
Easy. That's what we make our money off.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but it's, you know, it could be agile, what are they, 2.0 or something completely different.
Oh, let's go for 6.0. Alpha. Let's give it Greek letters. So that's actually bringing us to the end of our chat, Frank.
Wow.
Isn't it? It goes fast, doesn't it?
It's really
There's so many things we could talk about with agile. But it is, I think agile is here to stay. How it looks in the future is anyone's guess at the moment. I think one of the loveliest things about agile, it does bring the human back into delivery. We get to talk again rather than worrying about functional specs or risk registers. You know, it is the humans back in it, which is fantastic.
And telling stories.
Telling stories. Let's do a podcast on that. So as we conclude, got a couple of little questions for you.
Ooh,
quick, fast ones. All right.
It's not like hard chat.
Yeah. All right. Are you a caramel or a peppermint lolly person?
Oh, peppermint.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What does that mean? Oh, it's too quick to
discussing
answer.
It. Yeah. No. What's the first record you ever bought?
Oh, it was the push bike song.
On your push bike, honey.
Run along. I started singing. So.
That's all right. We'll put that in.
Who's the artist?
Oh. Don't know. We'll find it.
Yeah, the push bike song.
Paddlepop Line or Fat Cat?
Oh. Well, that's a tough one. I like them both.
Like them both. Wow.
Fat cat.
Last one. Who's going to win the 2019 premiership? You're going to go on record here. Premiership.
Oh, it's the power.
Of course it is. Yeah, thank you.
It's going to kick butt tonight against Collingwood.
That we will. Yes. Thank you so much for being a 60 Mock presenter. It's been an absolute pleasure watching you do that session today and then sharing your story for the whole community on the podcast series.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank.
Bye.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.